I grew up in Douglas community. My dad is actually an alumni. This past week, they actually celebrated their 44th anniversary, and they asked me to come back to be the keynote speaker.
What did you share with the reunion attendees?
Wow. Well, the top for the weekend was basically the future is now. And it was really a really tough topic to talk about because it means that we'd have to actually face the truth about some things and look how things are going in our community right now. And the reason why it was so important to me for them to, you know, for just to talk about what's going on in the world and nationally, because those things actually affect what's going on in your own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of issues specifically were you talking
about? We talked about unemployment. We talked about the high usage of drugs. We're talking about, you know, just our neighborhood being able to have pride within itself so that other people can take pride in it. At the same token, we were talking about social responsibility for those who have moved on, that even though we don't live in Murray, we still are connected to Murray. That's home. That's where our families are. So we have a connection to that, and we have to be responsible to it. And so we're just going to do some new things. We're going to actually start taking responsibility. We're actually going to be workers and not just people that just talk about what we're going to do, but we're actually going to do it. And so I'm excited. We're going to go forth. We're going to, you know, just go to the next level, and we're all going to go. We're going to go back and pick up the people that perhaps maybe we have left and everything, but we're all going to do it, because if we fail, then everybody fails. If we succeed, then everybody succeeds.
Now, Murray is home for you, correct?
Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about what you've done since leaving the area?
Okay. Well, let's talk about before I left. I actually attended Murray State for one summer semester and one fall semester. And like I always jokingly tell everyone, I wasn't the scholar or anything like that. I actually didn't really show up for school and classes like I probably should have, but I was perfect attendance for every party and everything, very much a social butterfly and everything. And I remember coming home for Christmas break in 1992, and my uncle, his name is John Hornbuckle, he pulled me over to the side and he said, "Well, you know, baby, what are you going to do with your life? Because these grades are really bad." And the next thing I know, we're talking, we're having lunch, and he takes me to the Navy recruiter in Murray, Kentucky. And he's been on me for the longest, ever since I was a little girl, about enlisting into the Navy. And so I took his advice and everything, and I joined the Navy.
I understand that you stayed several years in Hawaii after serving in the Navy there, and then you moved to South Carolina. Could you talk some about how you discovered your passion during that time?
Before I got to Columbia, South Carolina, I actually had ran a training service with my sorority. And one of my sorority sisters asked me if I'd ever thought about getting into higher education, and I hadn't. So we went to lunch, and she introduced me to, like, the University of Phoenix, the Honolulu campus. And we were about to leave, so I didn't get to start in Honolulu. I actually started teaching with the University of Phoenix in Columbia. And that's where I just really found my passion in higher education, and it opened up many other doors for me. And I actually became a professor at Savannah State University in Savannah, Georgia, in political science. And I absolutely adored it. I mean, they could probably have not even paid me a whole lot of money. It didn't even matter, because I was doing what I was purposed to do. I was good at it. While I was there, I actually noticed that the college girls didn't really have a whole lot of mentoring programs like the college men did. And so I would ask the girls if they would kind of stay with me after class and let's have this conversation just so that we can confirm what it was that I was seeing. Of course, I wanted to see if it was, you know, correct. And they were saying, yes, pretty much we don't have any type of mentoring programs or anything like that. You know, sororities are great, but a lot of times they're exclusive, and then some people just aren't interested in it. So I created a mentoring group called ECHOES. ECHOES stands for Eloquent Commitment to Helping Our Sisters. It was a college campus organization that basically dealt with the needs of the college girl on campus. We basically went and we got women that were in the community who were outstanding and who were prominent women in the community to come in and talk to them about their topics that they wanted to talk about. At the first meeting, the interest meeting, it really shocked me because there was like 150 girls that showed up. And I was like, wow, this is bigger than me. And so we got the women to come in and talk about their issues. What are their issues? Issues such as financial literacy. They wanted to talk about that because, unfortunately, college doesn't really talk to you about your credit and your FICO score and things of that sort. We talked about self-help issues, being able to build confidence, being able to be aware and be okay with your body image and things of that sort. And so we would bring women in that would connect to them, and it just really jumped off.
Since you're no longer teaching at Savannah State, are you planning on expanding ECHOS at all?
We actually started a chapter at Howard University, and we have one underway right now at Xavier University. We made ECHOS an LLC, where we actually do the same workshop for women in transition in three different stages. The first stage is actually for the young girl who's a ninth grader who's about to go into high school. It basically refocuses you. It focuses you on that college application that's coming up. It focuses you on getting a little bit more polished, maybe teaching them etiquette skills and things like that, making sure that they know that they are powerhouses just alone by themselves and what have you, and to build the confidence that they need. So we have the women in transition as early as the high school girls and girls that are freshmen in college. It's a shame and disgrace to find out where your college career center is like the second semester of your senior year. Can you imagine? It would have been nice to kind of know where it was and being able to be familiar with it and kind of know what to do on the way while you're in college. There's the girl that's the senior in college. She's been in this college world for so long, but now she's trying to transition into adulthood. So we teach them those professional and personal development skills.
What do you hope to share with these young women about empowerment?
Number one, the main thing that I'm really passionate about is that they have a purpose. They're not just here. Everybody has a purpose. Their maker has a purpose. I don't get into the religious stuff and everything, but everybody has a maker. And a lot of times what happens is that we seek things out for money. We seek things out just because, let's just get a job. And then you wonder why you're not doing well at the job. You're not doing the job well because it's not what you're called to do. And what we want to do is to get people in the right places at the right time. If you're an artsy person, why are you into the sciences and you hate it? Well, they told me I need to be a nurse, but you don't like blood. You don't even like sick people. And you wonder why the nurses, some of them just are not that good. Could it be that they're just in the wrong place? Number two, I want to stress that they can dream big. Whatever it is that they've set their sights on, that's what you're attracting to yourself. And number three, you have a responsibility to make sure that once you learn that you teach other people and that you bring people with you. Those are the three main things that I'm really passionate about. And I think that every woman, both young and old, a lot of times women, we are competitive with one another. And it's really, unnecessary and uncalled for because we all need each other.